What's going on, guys? James Camacho here. This is Kicking It With Camacho. Coming to you live, Bahamas edition, episode number dos mil, I know no Spanish. Why am I even trying, you know? Why am I even attempting to be Puerto Rican, you know? Because I ain't Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican down there. Whoa! I also got Puerto Rican lips, I think. People have told me that. Someone wrote to me, they wrote a comment to me on the good old positive social media that, like, the one Puerto Rican thing about me is that, like, apparently if I do jokes, I, like, purse my lips up like a Puerto Rican. And, I don't know, I guess that's kind of a thing, you know? I guess I do have, like, pretty plump lips. That could be from my Hispanic side. Because, man, you see some of these, like, white people, man. I mean, they got no lips, man. Like, they look like slits instead of lips, you know? There's no plumpness. It's just it looks like someone, like put a needle into my lip and just sucked it all out. And it's just literally, like, a sliver, you know? Maybe, because I also think African-Americans also have bigger lips. So maybe the bigger the lip, the bigger the hoo-ha. You catching my drift? You catching my drift out there? Anyways, good to be here. I sound a little bit, what do you call it? Monotone, AM radio DJ, because, you know, I'm in a hotel room. There's people around me. I'm trying to be empathetic towards others, you know? I'm an empath. Here I am. Real quick before we get into the jazz of the podcast, a little update on my goals. My YouTube watch hour number is now at 3,127. We are inching closer and closer to 4,000. So guys, thank you so much for watching, subscribing, liking, commenting, and, everything helps, man. And I think at this rate, we will hit 4,000 probably in a month or two, unless I have a video that goes viral. But that's good because I think my comedy special, which we're trying to sell right now, if it doesn't get sold to a network, streamer, buyer, it'll just end up going on YouTube, and then I'll be able to make some money off it, which is great. Bench press goal. We're doing hypertrophy. I can never say that right. I never got trophies going up, so maybe that's why it's tough for me to say that word. I think last time I benched, you know, here's the thing. So I'm trying to do this workout with my bench press where I do three sets of like 8 to 12 reps. The last time I benched, I wanted to try doing like kind of like heavy lifting like I used to, where literally I just do 1 to 3 reps, but put as much weight I can as possible. And I failed miserably. Like I benched like 205. My max is 215. And I hadn't done this kind of strength training in a long time. And, you know, it's kind of like when you stop drinking for a little bit, right? And then you start drinking again, but then you like have 10 beers and 5 shots like you used to. But then your tolerance is down, right? So you end up blacking out and it's a miserable night. So I kind of did that. I put up 205 and then I tried it again and I failed. It was embarrassing because, like, you know, I was at the gym in the resort and I had to throw the weight off. It made all this noise. I had a cup of coffee that, you know, that the weight fell on and exploded, and like it was just embarrassing. But, you know, you got to fail in life, and you can't be scared to fail. So the thing is, like, I got to be more consistent with my – I got to just trust the process, you know? So I'm going through this hypertrophy, and it's 8 to 12, and I'm going to keep it in that rep range, not try to deviate from that. So long story short, 170 for 8 was my last max for hypertrophy. Oh, boy, I got to figure this word out. My goal is to get to like 185 for 7 to 8 reps, because apparently what I've heard a lot online, so obviously it must be true, is that if you can bench 185 for seven, eight reps, then you should be able to bench 225 for one rep. And 225 is obviously my goal. So just trying to, you know, slowly but surely trust the process. Don't rush things. Don't hurt yourself. And, you know, just you know, believe in the process. Quickly, tour dates. I'm obviously in the Bahamas until May 5th. Any chance you're out here, come see me at the Joker's Wild Comedy Club. Milwaukee, May 16th. Kenosha Comedy Club in Kenosha, Wisconsin, May 17th to 18th. McKinney, Texas, May 31st, June 1st. Gilbert, Arizona, June 7th, 8th. The Honda Casino in Pine Top, Arizona, which is in the middle of nowhere, June 10th. Stress Factory Comedy Club, New Brunswick, New Jersey, June 29th. And then Albany, New York, June 30th. And then after that, I'm in Connecticut. I don't know the name of the city. I don't have it on my list here. But, you know, we'll plug that as we get closer. And that's about it. You guys ready for a hot kicking it with Camacho? So here I am in the Bahamas. It's been pretty nice. I've been pretty busy. God, man. Like, so I got here, what, last Monday, and I didn't actually get to, like, lay out by the pool or the beach until Saturday. That's how busy I've been with just, like, work stuff, you know? Like, Tuesday, I had to do the podcast for you guys, and then, like, Wednesday, what did I do Wednesday? I had a therapy, and then I had to do, like, booking emails. Thursday, I had a meeting with, distributors. Like, a company that their whole thing is that they sell content to networks. So I had the meeting with them. And then, then I had to, you know, spend the day making content. And then Friday, I don't know what Friday was, but yeah, I just haven't had the chance to lay out. And I finally got to do that the last 2 days over the weekend. Went by the pool out here, gorgeous pool, gorgeous woman everywhere. And, I sat my flat ass down, and I took in some sun finally. I got a little sunburn, so I had to go out and get some sunscreen. Dude, how much is sunscreen? Because I was at the store here, and obviously I'm at the Atlantis, which is like a really, you know, it's like a resort. Everything's overpriced, but like, dude, some of these prices for the sunblock, SPF 50, little bottles, like $30, man. I'm like, God damn. So I got the cheapest one because I'm a peasant, and I lathered that up, and I've been enjoying the sun just a little bit, you know. I've been playing my Game Boy. For those of you that may or may not remember or didn't see the last episode, my buddy told me how I can make my iPhone into a Game Boy. So I've been playing Pokemon Ruby again. It's been killing a lot of time. That's like kind of my activity. I don't read books, you know. I don't. God, what other activities do people do on their downtime? People read. You know, anything to get away from scrolling on Instagram and you know, getting to arguments with people online. You know what I mean? So it's way better. Yeah, it's been fun. Been watching a lot of the Knicks games here. They've been. That game. What was it? Game four. Yeah, game four was so much fun to watch. And, dude, I was at the bar. So there's, like, a sports book here where it's, you know, it's this little lounge area where they have these, like, huge TVs, like, I don't know, 12 TVs, giant screens. And, you know, they have all these, like, little kiosks and where you could put bets in and stuff. And I didn't place any money. I don't gamble. I got no money to be gambling, you know. But I went there and I watched the Knicks game, and it was like 90% Knicks fans. You know, everyone had the jerseys, the Brunson jerseys, the New York member, you know, New York clothes on. And dude, it's just so funny because like Philly fans have that like stereotype of being animals. I mean, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you had guys like on the street, like just demolishing stuff. Like there was one guy there was a viral video of a guy like eating horse poop. It's just like, and then like, you know, if you go to an Eagles game, it's kind of, or just like a Philadelphia sporting event in general, it's kind of known that like, it's tough, you know, if you're a fan of the opposing team, like you're going to get a lot of shit. people are going to want to start fights with you, you know? So Philly has that reputation of being just like, sport fans have that reputation of being just wild. And dude, so I'm at the sports book, all these Knicks fans, right? Trying to just watch the TV, have a good time. There was one Philly fan, right? One Philly fan. He's at the bar. He's got a bucket hat on. He's got sunglasses indoors. He already looks like a total tool bag. And dude, he was just like blacked out hammered. This is like, the game was at 1, so this is like 1 o'clock. And like, dude, it was horrific, dude. He was just like, anytime the 76ers would score a bucket, he's just screaming in the sports book, yeah, woo, fuck New York, ah! Right? And then anytime like the Knicks would like, you know, I don't know, turnover, miss a bucket, he's like, yeah, woo,
oh yeah,
ah! And just being such a belligerent idiot, man. And it was just like, dude, it's like, it's the saddest, one of the saddest things is when like someone just fits their stereotype, you know? Because like, obviously, like, you know, with stereotypes, we live in a politically correct time. It's just like, you're not supposed to assume. If you say stereotypes, it's offensive. I mean, people have literally lost jobs, gotten canceled for stereotyping, right? And, you know, sometimes you stereotypes, you know, they're there for a reason, you know? But it's just sad, too. It's just like, as a Philly fan, right, you know you got that reputation of being an idiot, being stupid, eating poop, right? Like, and then you're just completely owning that. It's like, doesn't that make you, I don't know, I guess some people wear it as a badge of honor, right? But it's just like, I don't know, it's just like anytime I'm driving and, you know, it's like someone's mad at me, honking the horn, and then for some, let's say we like stop at a light and they pull next to me and they start screaming at me and shit, I always feel like they look at me and it's just like, they're like, oh, of course he's Asian, you know? And it's just like, God, like, I'm not even a bad driver, but it's just like the fact that like I'm Asian and like my driving, he thinks my driving sucks. Like, I just get in my head about that. It's like, I don't want to fill that negative stereotype, you know? So, but the funny thing was like, as he's going crazy and stuff, you know, in my head, I'm like, dude, it's like the game just started. It's 1. This guy is absolutely out of his mind. It's just like, there is no way he's going to make it to the end of the game. Like, he's obviously, he's going to pass out at some point. And like, literally, I think it was like literally the start of the second quarter, you know, I turned and then he's just at the bar, completely slumped, right? Quiet, no reaction. And then about 10 minutes later, he just like gets up and just barely gets out of there. And I'm sure he went and threw up and passed out, and he's probably hungover right now, hating his life, as well he should, you know? It's like, if you're going to, he totally got what, I hope he has like the worst hangover today. I really do, you know? I don't wish pain on anyone. I don't wish that, but it's like, if you're going to be that big of a jackass, you know, but you know, the sad thing is like, he's probably not going to learn. That's the thing about hangovers, right? I have a joke about it, but it's like, as bad as they are, as horrific as they feel, we just drink again, do it all over again, you know, which I've kind of stopped. It's just like, I got to a certain point, man, where it's just like, is this even worth it? Right? I'm going out, spending a crap ton of money, getting belligerent, you know? Like, I guess the whole point of going out is to have a good time. But like, I'm so OCD and like obsessed with my career and work. It's like, I can't even really enjoy going out. I'm just thinking like, I should be working. Why? What am I doing? And I know it's like, it's not a healthy balance. I need to have a healthier balance, but it's like, you know, I guess the other reason why you would go out is to try to hook up with someone. But it's like, dude, when I'm drunk, it's just like a mess, man. I'm just, you know. Yeah, it's just always a mess, and it's just, you know, sober sex is just always, like, for me, way better. So, it's like, you know, I would go out, you know, get drunk, try to get laid, and then, like, I'd be just, you know, uncalled backable in bed. You know what I mean? So, yeah, other than that, man, it's been pretty good. Man, woman, there are some beautiful women out here, man. You know, it makes sense. Like, we're in a, you know, nice resort and stuff, so you're gonna have the hotties. But I have realized this. It's like, a lot of the really, really fine women out here, man, they're with, like, dudes that, like, it's a lot of, like, how did you get her, you know? I mean, you got some knockouts walking around here with, slubby's not the right word, because you can tell these dudes obviously have money, but they're either, like, considerably older, or they're just, like, you know, out of shape. And obviously, like, I know looks aren't everything, especially with women, you know? But it's just the obvious thing of like, it just makes me want to have more money, because, you know, when you have more money, I mean, as a guy, your dating pool just opens up considerably, you know? Like, listen, like, you know, if you're very charismatic and stuff, and like, you know, it's obviously like guys like that, just doesn't matter what their financial situation is or the situation in general is, like, they're always able to pull. But it's like, man, you see some of these like dudes that, like, you know, if they had no money, you know, if they were just regular 60,000 a year, you know, 80,000 a year, medium income guys, there's no way they'd be running around with these girls. I mean, God bless them, man. It's just like, I mean, I hate to say the word sugar daddy, because that has such a negative tone to it. But dude, it makes sense. It's just like, if you can get yourself into a situation where you can get taken care of and not do anything, I who wouldn't want to do that, you know? I don't know. It's just different for me. Like, I like working for my stuff, you know? Like, my ex-girlfriend, you know, she was getting her PhD in neuroscience. She ended up getting this incredible job. I think she's already going to be making six figures. And it's like, you know, people would always joke like, man, like, you got it going on. You got the best situation. You don't let that go. But it's like, for me, it's like the money doesn't really matter. I prefer someone that has a job and makes their own money and has like ambition and stuff. But like, as a dude, it's just like, I want to work and like earn shit, you know? Like, I take no pleasure in like free stuff, right? I like to actually work for something. And I don't know, I just like I like getting things the hard way. I like obtaining things that are not easy to obtain. You know, that's just me. So even if I had like a wife that was like, you know, get me everything, I don't think I would even be happy. Like, let's say I just had a sugar mama. She's buying me a car, got a nice house. She's buying me all the sneakers I ever wanted. I don't know. I don't think I would feel satisfied inside, you know?
Hey, but that's just me, you know? That's just me. You know, let me be poor. Let me live my life of peasantry, all right? Let me do that. I'm going to be rich up here, but I'm going to be poor in all other areas. But, yeah, I've seen a lot of that. And it's kind of a bummer because I'm out here, like, you know, I'm on my diet still, so I'm eating very clean. I'm working out every day. And I'm not fun because I'm not drinking. I got no goddamn money, you know. God knows what a cocktail costs out here, you know. I mean, sun lotion is like $30. I would assume, like, if you get a cocktail out here, it's probably New York prices, which would be like $15-$20, you know. So if I really wanted to get after it, man, I probably would have to, you know, I'd have to spend some money. And it just really does feel like the women that aren't here with their family, it just feels like they want to be taken care of, you know? In New York, I feel like when I go on a lot of dates, cause I date in my class, you know, I date in my financial class. So, you know, I'll be down, go on dates with women that are just like, oh, let me help out with that. Like, oh, do you want me to pay off? And I'm just like, no, I got it. But like, these are the type of women that are just like, that doesn't even cross their mind. It's just like, everything's taken care of. And if it's not taken care of, then this ain't it for me, you know? Man, I want to live a life like that, you know? I want to know what it's like to be rich and famous and then have to go through all the gold diggers, you know, that are just coming up to me, pretending like they like me. I'm very big on that, man. Like, I don't know. I feel like if someone doesn't really like me, I don't know, I just can't do it, man. I don't know how people do it, man. But I guess, you know, I guess the stuff is nice. Being taken care of. You know, some women just want to have kids, I guess. So, like, if maybe they're just trying to take care of their kids, which is, you know, that's very admirable. It's smart, too. But I don't know. Maybe in the future, I'm going to be poor and lonely. And I'm going to kick myself. I'm going to look back like, man, you should have just settled down with that rich woman, you idiot. You and your morals. Oh, speaking of like working out and stuff, dude, I'm starting to get old, man. And, you know, every comedian has that really hack joke of like, oh, when you get old, you can't do this. You get out of bed, everything hurts, blah, 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 blah. But dude, I had a moment like that the other day. So I work out, right? And like, dude, it's so fun because like I'm lifting like all this crazy weight, 100 pounds, 200 pounds, right? I'm in the air doing crunches. I'm upside down, you know, doing all these weird things, right? Just trying to get the abs going, right? I'm doing cardio, incline on 15. And then I fucking, I get back to the hotel and I feel great, man. I feel strong. I feel sexy. You know, I'm losing weight, you know, my waist is getting down there, like all my clothes, all my pants that I would put on, and like you got fat dribbling from all sides, like they're not like I'm putting on pants now and like everything is just smooth, right? The pants aren't fitting, they're sitting, and I just feel great, right? And then dude, literally I go to get in the shower, right? I take off my gym shorts, bro. I do this, and then dude, just the sharp pain in my lower back, just like literally someone just stabbed me, and I just like as I'm pulling my pants out, I'm just like ah, and I just fall to the ground, and it's so pathetic because like I got this mirror, like so this literally happened right here. There's a mirror like right across, so you know obviously, you know like I'm undressing to get in the shower, so obviously I'm in front of the mirror checking myself out, right? And then I'm just like in front of the mirror. I'm like crying, I'm like yelping, I'm squealing, and then like literally it's so pathetic because I got my pants, my shorts around my ankles, and I'm just like on the floor, and I can see myself just my little dick's like out, and like my pants. There's no like more vulnerable position for anyone to be in than when you got your pants around your ankles, you know. Honestly, like if this is gonna sound really crazy, but like if someone was messing with me, torturing me, or any of this stuff, and like if you know they were doing weird stuff to my junk, oh man, it's just like that's like literally my worst fear. But it's like if they were like leaving my pants around my ankles, I'd be like, bro, just take my pants off and do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Like I guess it's because like you can't move your leg. It's just something so emasculating and so demoralizing when you have your pants around your ankles. Just take them off. Just take them off. You know. Like, if I lost a bet and someone, like, was like, you got to run around the casino naked or something, if you wanted to make it worse, just be like, and you got to keep your pants around your ankles. Oh, God, that'd be so criminal. But, yeah, man, yeah, it was brutal, dude. I pulled my pants. I'm just like, screaming in pain. And then I'm kind of like, I'm walking like an old man. You know, I got my hand on my lower back and just... It was tough, but I laid down. I took some Advil. I rubbed some cream, some pain cream, and it went away. But man, like you know, as I'm getting older, I'm like working out like three times harder than I was when I was in my 20s, right? So it's just a reminder that like I need to stretch. I need to do cold plunges more. Get massages. There's a spa here. I'm gonna go get a massage today, I think. We have no show tonight. I haven't even talked about the shows. So it's just like just getting sore from pulling my pants down, you know. Age, it's coming, baby. But the shows have been pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, the crowds have been light, but everyone that's come to the show has been super fun, super into it, and I'm going through footage. I'm trying to do more stand-up clips. Not trying. I am doing more stand-up clips, so be on the lookout on my Instagram, on my YouTube. If you don't already, please go subscribe and follow on TikTok as well, and you'll be seeing some of the some of the action from the shows this weekend. It's just like I said. It's sorry if this is like you know. Not fun or boring. It's like some of you might be like, you're in the Atlantis, you're in the Bahamas. Like, how are you not having the best time out there? It's like, it's still a work trip, man. You know, like I take my job very seriously. There's a show at 9 every day. So that literally means I got to get in by 6 to, you know, rest, to get ready. I got to watch my set from the night before. I got to write, you know, so it's like, this is a work trip for me, man. And, you know, like I said, like I am enjoying a little bit. I'm going out in the sun. I'm trying some of the local food. I think we're going to go get conch tonight, which should be interesting. And, just trying to stick to my diet, man. You know, I'm literally in a resort, like a luxury resort, on a diet. Not drinking, not eating. So just trying to have as much fun as I can. Let's talk about this. So real quick, I want to address something, and then we have a couple of questions, and then we're going to do a motivational quote. What are we at? 25. The Bahamas podcasts are going to be a little shorter just because, using the Wi-Fi here isn't great. So I don't want to miss a podcast day with you guys. So I want to address this. So I've had a couple of videos go pretty viral on social media. Two in particular. I don't know if you guys saw it. They're selfie videos where I make these jokes about going on dates with girls that end up not going well. And I've been getting a lot of like negative comments, like kind of like hateful comments. Mostly it's positive, and they're going viral, so obviously it's like, people think, like, I always say this, it's like when things go viral, it's not really indicative if it's good or not. Like, things only go viral when people watch it and then people comment and they like argue in the comments. So obviously the more people that, you know, call me a piece of crap, and then, you know, other people will argue, defend me, right? The more of that and the more hate watching, right? It's like, that's why things go viral, you know? It's like, that's why it's a sad thing with social media. It's like, I'll post something positive. I'll post something just good. I'll post a joke that's just a joke. And, you know, people watch and they just enjoy, they like, but like, they don't comment because there's not that thing that's making them either angry or super like, you know, just most people watch, ha, and that's it, right? But it's only when you're like, and that, like, you know, it's like with Yelp reviews, right? Or like Twitter, it's like you mainly just hear a loud, angry majority of people. And then the people that are, you know, enjoy it or indifferent don't really say much, right? So that's why sometimes, like, you know, things that are controversial or like people slipping down the stairs, like that's the stuff that will go viral, which is just sad. And then you know, this is just the stuff that like these apps want to expose us to. So we're just being fed garbage, and it's not good. But anyway, so I posted a couple jokes. One of them was about how I went on a date with a girl, and I asked her what her passion was, and she said it was painting. And then she also told me she hated her job. So I was like, hey, you know, why don't you like try to paint, maybe quit your job, go full-time painting, like, you know, it's gonna be tough, but if you're really passionate about it, if you really love doing it, then, you know, you never know where it can go, you should just take a chance, YOLO. And then the girl goes, you know, she, like, this is true, by the way, this actually happened, so she kind of makes fun, she, like, laughs, and she goes, well, you can't, what, I can't do that, you can't pay your bills with art. And then, I didn't say this on the date, but, like, the joke that I made was, like, then the bill came, and then she's like, are you going to pay it? And I'm like, I can't, I'm an artist. So I had that one, and then I had another one where I was on a date with a girl, and then I just told her, she told me that she wanted to have kids one day, and I was like, me too, but when I have kids, I want to be financially stable where I can get my kids whatever they want, and my wife doesn't have to work. And then she was like, you don't think women should work? And I'm like, well, I'm just saying I want to be a provider. That's all I'm saying. And she was like, you know, in 50% of the households in America, women make the most money. And I was like, really? 50% of husbands are comedians? So that's the joke. And like, dude, like, it's just amazing, like, the comments that people, like, mostly it's positive, mostly. And there's a lot of people, like, are supporting me, which is really nice. But like, and a lot of people being like, well, you know, this is Instagram, joke going over people's heads. Wow. Unbelievable how so many people can't understand comedy or whatever, right? But you just have some, like, with the painter one, it's just so many people like saying stuff like, no, she's right, you can't pay your bills with art, like, you know, you're an idiot. I've had people be like, you sound rich, you sound privileged, you sound like or, and then you just have people like, why is the woman the butt of the joke? Woman can't be the butt of the joke. You're a bad guy, this and that. And like with the one about the provider, being a provider, it's just like, what are the negative stuff people are saying there? Oh, it's like, oh, like, it's funny. It's like her reaction to like, you don't think women should work are literally people's reactions. It's just like, oh, like, yeah, she was right. Like, you think you got to take care of us. You don't think women should work. And then you have people defending me, like a lot of women defending me, kind of being like, yeah, it's just like, listen, like, it should just be an option. Like, I should want to work, but I should also want to be taken care of, and I get to decide what I want to do. And then people being like, yeah, he just, you know, he's not saying, like, I don't think you should work. It's just so funny because, like, the joke was literally me saying I want to be a provider and then her saying, like, you don't think women should work, which wasn't what I was saying. But as even though I made that clear in the joke, people are still assuming that's what I'm saying. And they're, like, defending the woman. That's another thing, too. You have a lot of women and also just a lot of, like, I guess male feminists that are just like, why are you making her a joke? One person was like, you suck at comedy because you're making fun of other people. You're punching down. If you can't make fun of yourself in comedy, then you're not funny. And it's just like, you're so stupid. It's just like, all I do. And see, this is the route that I need to stop going on. And I'm about to go on it right now, and I'm going to pull back. It's just like, she obviously, you know, she sees this one video and she just, like, a 30-second video, and she sums up my entire career, my entire life. It's like, if you ever watched me do stand-up, all I do is make fun of myself, you know? That's literally my whole act. But yeah, obviously, you know, she doesn't do it. I mean, it's just brainless. You know, you see one thing, go kill yourself. It's just like, I don't know. So, yeah, but it's just fascinating for so many reasons. Like, with the painter thing, it's just like, I just love how low people's expectations are of themselves, or like how much, like, little hope they have, you know? Because, like, yeah, it's tough to make money in art, right? If you're going to choose a career like that, it's obviously way more safer to choose a career where, you know, you have a 9-to-5 job, you have benefits, you have a salary, you have a contract. But the whole thing is, like, if you are actually passionate about something, like, if this lady's passionate about painting, by the way, guys, I can see the clouds are going over the sun. I'm using the sunlight for lighting, so, like, we're going in and out of light here. It's just, so, you guys can see. I just want to know that, make you guys aware that I'm aware. It's kind of like in comedy, if you don't address a situation, everyone kind of starts, like, being freaked out, you know? Sometimes you just got to address the elephant in the room. So, I know the lights are going on and off because of the sunlight's being blocked by the clouds. But, God, what was my point? Oh, yeah, it's just, like, if you're really that if you're passionate about painting the way I am in comedy, then it's like, you know, you don't make excuses, or you don't kind of put yourself in this, like, mindset of, like, failure, like, guaranteed failure. It's like, there's no way I can do this. There's no way. It's like, but, so then you're in it for the wrong reason, right? I've always talked about this. Like, if you're doing comedy to get money and get fame, you're probably going to quit very quickly, because there's very few people that get fame and success quick. It's a long road. It's a journey. And you just got to be doing it because you love doing it, and you can't live without. There's no other option for you. That's how much you love it, you know? So to have this mindset of, like, it's impossible to make money, it's stupid to take that chance, it's just like, it's a really sad, pathetic way of looking at things, you know? And like I said, it's logical, it makes more sense, but it's like, anyone that's really passionate about something and they work their butt off, they put the time in, they don't make excuses, they're constantly trying to get better, and, you know, they just they sacrifice what they have to sacrifice to get good at their craft, they're putting in 10,000 hours, it's like, there's always going to be room for you in the business. I truly believe that, you know? Like, if you're good at what you do, anything, you could, even if it's a desk job, if you're good at what you do, there's going to be money in it. And for people, it's just people that don't want to, you know, they don't want to struggle. They don't want to go through the tough times. They only see, you know, people killing it. They don't see how they had to get there, not being famous, not being successful, the struggle. Like, they just don't see that, and they have no belief. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, like, let's say with, like, cold plunges, it's like all the benefits you can get are so good for you, but you have to go through that immense pain, torture, and just being uncomfortable and struggle and of those, like, whatever, few minutes in the, when you first dip your toes and you get your body in, it's brutal. But then you can get all the benefits if you can just go through it. And it's just like, so many people can't do it. They dip their toe in, forget that. And it's just like, clearly you just don't want it, you know, or clearly you just don't believe in yourself. Because if you truly believed in yourself and you're passionate, you'll find a way, you know? It's all about getting better. It takes a long time to get good at anything, painting, comedy. But if you keep getting better and you get good, at some point, there is going to be a market for what you do, right? And obviously, there's a lot of things that come into it, like luck, who you know. But, you know, talent can take you very far, you know? And then all the other business crap, that's definitely a part of it. That's what really separates the people that become like Kevin Hart from the people that just like, they could just make a living, a touring, you know? I don't want to say Kevin Hart was like lucky, but like, yeah, I mean, to get to where he is, there's got to be a little bit of fortune involved. You know, he's definitely blessed. I mean, he's definitely talented too. But like I said, he wouldn't have gotten there without the talent. You just can't get to places like where he is with no talent, you know? So it's just sad that a lot of people were giving me crap, calling me like entitled, calling me like rich or whatever. It's just like, dude, it's like I work so goddamn hard to just get to where I am, you know? And I know what struggle is. And for you to just be like, for you to imply that like I've only been able to get to where I am or only who I am today because of my financial background, it's just ridiculous, man. I'll never forget, there was this one time, this is when I was brand new in comedy, right? And I was still living with my parents at the time. But dude, like I said, I was a hard worker every night. Just because I was living with my parents, I didn't have this thing of like, oh, I'm not going to work. I'd go out every night. I'd hit as many open mics as I could. I would do anywhere from 3 to 5 to 6 open mics every single night. I would go there. I would sign up early for the first one. Then I would drive or take the train to the next one. Sign up there. Go back. Do that open mic. Then I go over to the other open mic, do that one. I'd run out of there. I'd go to another open mic. I'd ask for a favor if I can go up early so I can make another open mic, you know? And the whole time, every day, I'm writing material. I'm just busting my ass, man. Open mics in New York City, you got to pay. So I'm paying money just to do this. So I'm losing money the whole time, right? Every night, all my 365 days of the year, you know? No days off, holidays, nothing. And, you know, I remember one guy, he was older, and he was pretty much where I was, right? Open mics, maybe doing an occasional bar show. And, man, he was like, he was very bitter. He was always he was a nice guy, but he had a bitter side to him. So you never knew what you were getting. One day it would be like he was a sweetheart, and then one day he was just angry, right? But he told me one day, I was telling him, like, you know, we're talking about, like, making it and stuff, and he just goes, like, well, you know, you got it easy, man. It's just like, I wish I was you. Like, you know, you're just living at home. You got no bills to pay. So you get, like, you know, you're just like, in a way, it's like you got it easier than me, right? And I remember at the time, I felt really bad. Because I was just like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, I this guy's got bills to pay. I think he was like taking care of his mom at the time too. He's got to work a real job and yada yada yada. But then as I progressed through my career, and I would tell other people what this guy said, everyone was like, that guy was just a bitter asshole, you know? Because dude, every situation is different, right? But you're born into situations. You don't get to choose it, right? Like obviously, I feel like, you know, if this guy could choose, he'd probably choose the lifestyle I had. But it's like, dude, the guy was like 40, like. I'm in my 20s, and so I start comedy early where I'm still living with my parents. I don't have bills, and you're going to give me crap because of my situation, and you're going to shame me, make me feel bad, you know? And it's just like, I totally get it. It's like, if you have responsibilities, that takes time away from you when you could be doing stand-up, right? But still, it's just like a very bitter thing to be like, oh, I wish I was you. You got it easy, you know? You don't deserve all this stuff. You know what I mean? And, you know, you can't be angry or bitter about situations you're born into, you know? And listen, it's just like, as much as this guy wants to be like, you live with your parents, right? All that stuff. You're living with your parents and all this stuff. It's just like, you don't know where I come from, dude. Like, you think, you know, you're just like, you don't know what kind of childhood I have. You don't know what kind of, like, you know, my parents have, you know what I mean? It's just like, so to just like, I don't know. That kind of shit was really sad. And I liked the guy too. And I don't even think he does comedy anymore. But it's like, I'd never done that, you know, because there are people that have been like put in better situations than me, right? Maybe they get lucky, someone's at their show. Maybe they have rich parents. Like, I mean, there's plenty of comedians that have really, really rich parents. They have connections. I didn't grow up with rich parents. I didn't grow up with any, you know, my parents have any connections in show business, you know? They help me as much as they can, which I really appreciate. But, like, when these, like, rich people with all these connections in show business, right, powerful parents, you know, they're able to have the money I don't have to put in their career. They're able to have the connections either. I don't get mad at them. It's like, it's all about your work ethic. If you're going to take that situation and still work your ass off, to me, that's, I got total respect for you, you know? And that was who I was. Like, as much as, like, I was living with my parents and I was financially supported and, you know, I was young, right? So people would choose, you know, people obviously in show business, they choose young people over old people. It's like, hey, that's my situation. And it's not like I'm like banking on it. It's like I was still working my ass off, you know? To me, it's just about what the position you put in doesn't define who you are. It's just what you do with it, you know? That's really what defines who you are. So I get on this tangent here. But yeah, no, we're talking about the viral video. So it's just like people just saying all this like ridiculous stuff, you know, like and it's just like I don't respond anymore. You know, one fan actually checked me because, you know, I was in my feels one day and someone, you know, wrote something nasty to me and then I wrote something nasty back. And then they actually comment, a fan commented, he's like, James, it's like, you got to ignore the trolls, man. You're better than this. And then I was like, you're right. I deleted the comment. And, you know, it just sucks because every single day, it's so funny because all these like social media gurus, all this, you know, the social media apps themselves will tell you like, respond to every comment. Well, you know, blah, 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 blah. Always respond. Engage. It's just like, dude, but like most of the engagement is just people telling me to go fuck myself. You know, it's like you, it's like so funny. Like they want you to expose yourself to negativity and things that could hurt your feelings and things that could like mess with you. It's so bad that they encourage that. Don't you want to go viral? You know, listen to all the people that hate you. It's just like, good God. But yeah, I don't want to address it too much, you know. It's just another reason why this social media crap is so ridiculous. Yeah, just people like, man, people really just hating me, you know. People telling me what to do. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. It's like, I don't even know you. Why would I listen to anything you say? I never met you, you know. Also, how do you think I got my, like, 100,000 followers, you know? I'm going to take advice from someone that doesn't even have a profile picture. It's like, you see, again, like I'm getting to that thing where I'm defending my... We're just going to stop here. All right, guys. Let's move into some questions here. We have two questions. Not a lot of questions these days. Not many listeners, not many watchers, but I do appreciate all the people that do send in stuff. Laura Land asked me a question, which I don't know how serious it is, but I'll answer it anyways. She goes, why do they put two Pop-Tarts in a package, but their serving size is only one? I can't just eat one. It would go stale. Why did they do that? Also, my family had an intervention for me to give up my love for Pop-Tarts. I haven't cleaned for many years. The way you sound so passionate about Pop-Tarts sounds like you might relapse any day now. I mean, companies always do that, man. They always, like, you know, a bag of chips. Like, you know, I was trying to get some trail mix the other day. It's like this little bag. I'm looking at the nutrition label. I'm thinking, like, this one bag is just, you know, whatever, 100 calories, 2 grams of fat, whatever. But then it says serving size 2.5. So if you eat that whole bag, you're eating, like, 300 calories and all that. I'm just like, God damn. And it's just like I would prefer them to just package it with one serving, but they never do that, you know? I don't know why they just don't straight up put the exact nutrition for that, what they're giving you. I think it's just a way to trick people to thinking they're eating less, but then they're eating more, they're getting fat, they're going to get hungry again, they're going to get out of shape, they're going to not move. And then they're going to, you know, be on their phone more, not be active. They can sell more ads on there. You know what I mean? So I think it's just this whole thing. Because, like, you know, I'm very big on nutrition and diet. So I read that stuff, and like I got a pack of gummy worms right there that it's been 3-4 days because it's 3 serving size in there. So I literally counted every single gummy worm. I divided it by the serving size that it says on the nutrition label. And so I'm eating like 3 gummy bears, gummy worms a day because that's what the serving size is. But most people don't do that. Most people don't have scales. Also, it's like, you know, let's say you're getting, a Pop-Tart's easy because it'll say one pastry is a serving size. So you just eat one, or you just know if you're eating two, you're just eating double that nutrition. But it's like, if it's something complicated, like let's say a whole bag of Cheetos, right? There may be 100 Cheetos. You're not going to dump it out and separate all of them. You know what I mean? And then sometimes the serving size is by weight. So it's just like, are you really going to, you know, get a scale out? I got a scale, but it's like, you know, I'm not going to bring my scale when I go out to eat, you know? So it's just capitalism. Really, that's what it comes down to. They're just trying to fatten people up, you know? They're trying to trick them into thinking they're eating healthy when they're not. I mean, there's so many, like, if you, like, again, with the trail mix, dude, it's just like, if you have one serving of trail, like, if you read the nutrition label on a trail mix thing, it says one serving might be like 100 calories, 6 grams of carbs, 3 grams of protein, 10 grams of sugar. And you think, like, that's not too bad, 100 calories. But then you eat the whole bag, and it's actually like a full meal. You know, and a not healthy one. So I think it's just a way to trick us. I don't know why. I think it'd be better for everyone if they did that. But then I think it would, like, I think it'd be better if they just put the exact nutrition on the bags of food. But I think they've probably done the research where it's like that's probably going to deter people from getting it. And then they make less money. So that's really what it comes down to, Laura. Pop-Tarts are great, you know. I used to eat a lot of Pop-Tarts when I was trying to put on weight. I would literally have one in the morning. There's a lot of carbs in there, so I would get my energy to work out. There'd be some of them had like a decent amount of protein. But Pop-Tarts, it's just like, it's a good substitute for like, I don't know, a bowl of cereal or like a bagel, you know. I'm not eating Pop-Tarts now, though, because your boy's trying to get all ripped up. So we have another question here. This guy on Instagram, I don't have his name. I don't want to go on social media right now. I just posted a new video, and I usually try to wait an hour before looking at it because it'll drive me crazy because I'll see, like, no one viewed it, and I'll start crying. But he asked me if I would be down to open for Zhao Young Summers, who I don't know who she is. I know of her, and but I don't know her personally. I know she has a pretty big following on social media. Would I do a show with her? I'd do a show with her, like a showcase club. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Would I open for her? You know, I'm more in the position now where, like, I headline, and to open for someone, it'd have to be someone that I just think is a better comic than me, or someone's famous. She has a pretty big following, so I guess, you know, I would have to look at it like as a business decision, as much as like I don't want to open for someone else. You know, if she's got like a million followers, I don't know how many, I think maybe 1,400,000, maybe not, I don't think it's that much, maybe like 400,000 or something, right? Maybe 500,000. It's like, if I can open for her and then perform for, like, you know, her sold out crowds, then I'll just get more fans. So, you know, and then it's easy money, right? Do 20, 30 minutes, get in, get off, get out, and make new fans, and then maybe they can come to my show in the future. So I guess I kind of be down because she has such a big following, but I do. I don't see why not, you know? Comedy's about networking, and we talked about earlier, hard work is a big part of it, but, like, who you know and stuff is a big part. I know she's done big podcasts. Like, I think she was on Godfrey's podcast. She's done a lot of stuff, and she's pretty famous on social media. So, yeah, I'd do a show with her. I don't see why I wouldn't. My hope is to get to where she is, where I have all the followers she has, and then I can move the same amount of tickets she does. You know, I'll get more bookings. I guess I would definitely do a show with her, and why not? All right. I think we got to wrap up here. Let's do our motivational quote for the week. If you have questions, guys, you can please just comment them on this video. You can send them to my email, jamescamachocomedy.com. I've never gotten a question via... Oh, actually, that's not true. I've gotten a few questions via email. What am I saying? I just don't get a lot, but the podcast is small, so it's all good. I really do appreciate anyone and everyone that is watching and... what's the word? Engaging. Engaging! So, you know what? This actually goes really well with what we talked about earlier. The motivational quote for this week is, what are you willing to sacrifice for your goals? The next time you write down your goals, you should also write down what you're willing to sacrifice. Because, you know, anything you want to accomplish in life, any goal, there's got to be something you got to give up. You know, you got to give to get, right? I'll give you an example of me. Like, I got two goals right now. One of them is to be the best comedian I can be. And the other one is to be in great shape. I want to have abs. I want to just low body fat. I want my clothes to fit perfectly. I just want to be a sexy mofo, you know? And those goals, you know, obviously, who wouldn't want to be a big time comedian? Who wouldn't want to look, you know, look like Brad Pitt in a Fight Club, right? But those things, they come with sacrifice, man. You can't just live your normal, happy, carefree, I don't give a F life and obtain these, right? Like with comedy, dude, it's just like I sacrificed my entire social life to do this. Whenever people go out at night, Saturday night, Friday night, what am I doing? I'm working, right? I'm always gone, right? I got to travel. Oh, I got a birthday party coming up. You got to come. Oh, I'm going to be out of town working. Oh, it's a, you know, and it sucks because, like, you know, sometimes I'll miss so many things and it'll be so long that when I do actually get to connect with my friends, it's like I feel like I've missed stuff. They're talking about things that have happened. There's, like, new friends in the group now. I have no idea. I'm playing catch up. And it's just, you know, like, obviously my really good friends, it's like every time we link up, it's like no time has passed. That's why I love them. They're my besties. But, you know, it's you miss a lot, you know? And I know people with families that do comedy, they miss a lot of, you know, they may miss a graduation, they may miss sporting events with their kids, and it's just, that's the sacrifice, man, you know? You sacrifice your social life, you sacrifice time with your friends, family, and then, you know, you talk about my goals with, you know, trying to get in great shape, you know? I can't, again, social life takes a big hit. Can't go out to eat the way I want to. Also, another sacrifice of comedy is, like, you're not going to be making a lot. So your friends may want to go do this, may want to spend money doing that. They got regular jobs. They got good money. You can't do it. You can't. So you got to sacrifice your quality of life, right? You can't get a nice house or a nice apartment like your friends with money have. You got to get a studio. You got to get a roommate, you know? Got to live in a part of town that every time you walk home, you're scared you're going to get shanked. So, yeah, and then with the health thing, it's just like, you know, you can't eat fun things. You can't eat things that taste great, like ice cream, pizza, fries, fried food. You can't eat any of that stuff. You know, social life takes a hit because, you know, drinking is just awful for your body. And then when you drink, you lose all your inhibitions. So you run to McDonald's when you're hammered. You just chow down, right? You go to Taco Bell, shove a burrito in your butthole. And and then drinking is just like, there's literally no nutritional value to any alcohol. You have a beer, it's like 150 calories, carbs, no protein, nothing, you know? And then it's just bad for your body. So you got to sacrifice that. You got to sacrifice being fun. And then every day you gotta go work out. You gotta, you know, do your exercise. You're gonna spend a lot of time doing that. This time is that could be used, I don't know, screwing around, playing video games, dating. You gotta be consistent, and then you gotta be sore, man. It's like if you work out as hard as you have to work out to get a great physique, you're gonna be sore. So then you're gonna have to, like, do these, you know, cold plunges. You gotta get massage. You gotta stretch. That takes more time, and it's just more time than you know. Doing pleasurable things like screwing around, you know. So it's a lot of discipline because the stuff is very lonely. The stuff is not fun. But I'm totally cool with it. Like, it may not be fun, but there is, I guess it's like fun to me because it's all part of me accomplishing my goal. And to me, the thing that brings me satisfaction in life and the things, I guess, I don't know if fun's the right word, but it makes me feel better about myself. I guess that's what fun kind of is. Things that make you happy is me achieving my goals and seeing progress, you know? So yeah, dude, like if you have any goal, like let's say, you want to get ahead at your job, right? You want to get a raise. That's your goal. And then you're just going to have to outperform the people that work at your company. And how are you going to do that? You're going to have to work overtime, right? Sacrifice. Can't go out. Can't see your kids, right? Anything. What's another goal that people, they want to buy? People want, hey, I want to buy that those new pair of Jordans. All right, you got to save up your money. So that means you got to downsize your life. You got to work extra hard. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just like, if you're not willing to sacrifice, you're just never going to get to your goals. And dude, I was that way for a long time, you know? Like, I always wanted to have a really good physique, be really, really good shape, right? But I also wanted to, like, go out, get drunk, eat garbage. And, you know, I've gotten over that because a lot of that's, like, social pressure. A lot of that is just, like, you know, caring about what other people think, you know, oh, I'm gonna go out, get drunk, I'm gonna be a good time, people are gonna think I'm cool, I'm gonna get laid, I'm gonna feel, and, you know, doing all that stuff, it's just, it's like taking two steps forward and three steps back. I'd work out crazy all week, go out on the weekends, completely ruin everything, right? I diet well, and then I have one weekend, espresso martinis, beers, junk food, and then, bloop, I'm fatter than I was the week before, you know? Same thing with comedy, man, it's just like, if you want to get good at comedy, you got to get up every night, right? What are you willing to like sacrifice? Or what are you willing to do? It's like you got to watch video of yourself. One of the most painful things in the world is watching yourself as a comedian and trying to be objective, looking at your flaws, looking at what didn't work, and then rewriting your stuff. It's the most painful thing. And it's like it only gets worse. It starts off with 5-minute sets, then goes to 20. Then goes to an hour. So you're literally just watching yourself like a psychopath for an hour, dissecting how you suck, how you're good, how you're this and that. And it's like, it's brutal, man. If you're not willing to do any of those things that make you uncomfortable, you're not going to get to your goal, man. You know? So, yeah. Next time you write down your goals, whatever it is, also write down the things you're willing to give up, you're willing to sacrifice. And it doesn't have to be give up completely. I have every intention that once I get the physique that I'm totally happy with, you know, I'm then once in a while I have a, you know, I'm gonna be focused. Right now I'm focusing on losing weight, getting there. Then once I can get into like a maintain phase, I'll have a little fun, drink, you know, eat out maybe once a week, twice a week, you know, be a little more flexible, but. To get to where you're going, man, it's a lonely road, man. You know, it's a lonely road getting to your goals because people fall out. You know, people don't want to do that. Same thing, you know, with the painter girl. It's just like, what are you willing to sacrifice? Okay, are you willing to live? Are you willing to downsize the quality of your life? And obviously she wasn't. She's like, you can't pay your bills. It's just like, okay, what are your bills? What do you got? Like, you know, you got your phone bill. What else you got? You got to drink every weekend, so you got to spend money on social life. Do you really need that? Are you really that passionate about painting? You got to buy a designer bag. Do you really need that? Do you really need that? Or do you want to paint, be a painter more? You know what I mean? So, yeah. Got to make sacrifices, man. Got to make sacrifices for greatness. You can be average and make no sacrifices. It's up to you. All right, guys, that's the podcast for this week. We did a full hour. Said I would do shorter, but, you know, I love rambling and yamping. I hope you guys enjoy this. Going to be in the Bahamas for another week, so there will be no weekend episode. I'm going to actually try to enjoy my goddamn life out here a little bit. And I want to say next week's episode, because I fly out Monday to get back home Tuesday, I want to say that, not certain, but maybe I'll record early, get one more Bahamas, like we can do like a final recap of my final week here, and that'll be out Tuesday of next week as normally scheduled. Guys, if you want to support the podcast, please sign up for the Patreon. It's $5 a month. You get the episodes earlier than it would be on YouTube. Other than that, I love you guys. Thanks for staying with me. And I will see you next week. And again, go for your goals. But just know, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. That was so lame. That was so corny. That was so, I didn't like that. How are we going to end? We got to end with something something a little bit more positive. Go Knicks. Go Knicks. Yeah. God damn. Wow. This is like me being, this happened to me the other night. I was on stage and like I did this nice little wrap up and I literally should have, once I did that, just been like, good night, everyone. But then like I just took 2 seconds too long to say it and then it got awkward and then I had to tell another joke and then the joke bombed. So I had a great set and I just ended on a freaking dud, you know. But that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for supporting Kicking with Camacho and supporting me and 4,000 watch hours. We're coming for you. Titan, adios.